Welcome, everyone, to T.S. Wright Speaks. Well, today we are going to dive into Luke chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 1. So let's set the scene here. Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist. And interestingly enough, if we dial it back just a hair, as Jesus is ascending out of the waters, literally the anointing comes on him. If we go to verse 22, it says, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased.'" Now let's understand, Jesus hadn't really done anything yet as far as his ministry was concerned. John the Baptist, obviously, the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." He was the one coming before him to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins and basically preparing the path for Jesus. He was the forerunner. All right, that's what John the Baptist is. But Jesus is the key to all this. All right, John the Baptist is simply a forerunner for Jesus. And now Jesus has been baptized and basically anointed by God that you are the one. You're the one that I am well pleased in. Now, instead of Jesus jumping right into his ministry, he goes into the wilderness. Matter of fact, he is led in spirit into the wilderness. So we're going to start with verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Now, if you would dial back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, guess what? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Okay? So, he's pulling it straight out of the book of Deuteronomy. Then the devil led him to a high place, this is verse 5, and showed him in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. "I will give you authority over all these kingdoms and all their glory," he said, "for it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." But Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Again, what are we doing? Jesus is simply quoting scripture. All right. He is quoting scripture. He loves to do this. All right. He loves to do this. And when he quotes his scripture, it is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. All right. It is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. You can read that. Then the devil, verse 9, then the devil led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now, interestingly enough, the devil is quoting Psalm 91. You can go and start with verse 11 there. He's quoting it. He is misusing scripture. Can't imagine that the enemy would misuse scripture to try to get you to turn away from God. Imagine that. But Jesus answered them, verse 12. Here's his response. "It also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, Deuteronomy 6, 16. So he just comes right back with him at scripture. Then in verse 13, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left until an opportune time. See, here's the thing. Jesus had to be tested before he could start his ministry. Because if you go to verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues and was glorified by everyone. So he starts his ministry. All right. But he does not do that until after the temptation. He had to be baptized and anointed. And the anointing is really, it's not just the going in and out of the water and being baptized and recognizing that, but it's the voice of heaven. It is God saying, "This is my son in whom I well pleased." He is claiming it over him. Then he walks into the wilderness and is tempted. Now, I can give you several parallels here that I think are very important. All right. Let's start with the first one. Just things you need to think about. First of all, how many days did Moses, when he was on the mountain, fast and pray as he was receiving the law from God? He was receiving the stones, the Ten Commandments. Wasn't it 40 days? That's right. So we see a 40-day period of time of him fasting, just like Moses did on the mountain. You see, we all, as we enter into ministry, as we all enter into a period of time of taking God's word to the world, as we all come to our calling, there needs to be a time of transition and preparation. See, this is as much not just a temptation, but it is a preparation for Jesus. It is preparing him. First of all, he is proving who he is through this. This is kind of that one of those major moments towards the beginning of his ministry time of him being proven that who he is. He is not only proving it before God, the Father, but he is showing it to Satan that this is who I am. And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, all of us need to go through a transition time. We do. A training time, if you will, and a testing to know that we are ready to walk as the Lord is calling us. God will never throw you completely into his calling all at once. First of all, we're not ready for it. But there needs to be periods of transition. We almost have to have our own little wilderness periods that we walk through. I will tell you, our wilderness periods, just as the 40 years in the desert for the Israelites, obviously the 40 days here represents Moses on the mountain fasting. It also represents the 40 years in the wilderness of the Israelites, and you can draw all those parallels, but we all need our own period of time, that transition in which God is working things out in us, structuring us, testing us, restructuring, testing, and continually molding us. See, the reason Jesus didn't need more than 40 days is he was already ready. He didn't have to be restructured. He didn't have to be molded. And this proves it. When he hit his time of testing, he walked right through it the way he was supposed to. We have to learn to do that. That's why sometimes our wilderness periods and our transition periods take longer than Jesus did, because we are full of sin. And there are things in our lives that need to be worked out first. Because if we were to walk straight into ministry, it's not the fact that we can't do the technical aspects of the ministry, but it's all the side stuff and all the other things that are going to come against you that you're going to have to deal with that's going to overrun you, that you're not prepared for. I promise you, if you look at it just specifically as the ministry that you're doing and that's all you focus on, then what's going to happen is you're going to get very technically good at doing this part, but you're not going to see all the other things going on around you, and you're not going to be able to manage or handle them. That's why it's so important that we train, that we learn. That's why discipleship is such an important aspect of everything that we do. See, this temptation of Jesus is really a preparation for discipleship. Not that we need to necessarily fast like he did for 40 days or go on the mountain with God like Moses did and fast for 40 days and 40 nights and drink or eat nothing. All right. But there does need to be a period of training, shaping, improving, and going through some tests and some trials that we are prepared for all the pieces that of our calling. Because our calling, I promise you, usually involves things that are well stated and kind of directly in front of you. And then there's all these side things going on that may not necessarily be spoken, but that we have to be prepared for. So the one other thing that really comes out in this passage is spiritual warfare. See, spiritual warfare is something that needs to go along with ministry. You need to learn how to pray. And it's not just praying about the ministry itself, but it's being able to stand against the things that the enemy's going to throw at you when you start to walk into your calling. I love this parallel of all this, because what Jesus is doing is when he's baptized and basically spoken over by God that he is the Son of God and he's the one that God is well pleased in, it's an anointing. We all need that anointing. We all have an anointing to a calling. But Jesus does not step right into ministry. And I believe it was done in this pattern, in this format, and in this time frame. And it was basically done in this order to show us that there needed to be a time of preparation first. If you're a prize fighter, you don't walk in and start fighting in the match right away. You don't do that. You have to train first. Here it is, right here. Jesus is showing that his training has come out. He's going through parts of the training, the end of it, to show that he's ready. If he had have failed here, first of all, he wouldn't have been the Son of God. And number two, he had have proven that he wasn't ready for this. See, think about that. So there needs to be that time. If you watch the Rocky movies, you'll always know the training starts rough and then it gets sharper and he gets sharper and he gets sharper until he is ready for the big fight. Same with us. And he has to learn all the pieces and things. Sometimes it's not just the techniques of boxing and all that, but it's the stamina and perseverance to withstand all the attacks that are going to come against him. You know, he's got to be able to take a punch and he's got to be able to do it without wearing down. All right. That he can handle the rigors of what's coming against him. Well, Jesus shows it right here. He's proven that he can handle it. He can go 40 days without eating. He can basically be pounded on by the enemy and he just keeps on walking and he's got an answer. He can respond to anything the enemy throws at him, no matter the circumstance, no matter in his lowest, hardest moment, he can still withstand the enemy. And we need to be able to do that. So let's go over a little bit of a checklist of things that we need to learn. Number one, we need to be able to sense God calling us. All right, we need to have a sense of that. And there has to be a beginning point. Look, all of our testimonies have a beginning point. There has to be a time when we are, if you go to John 3, chapter 3, we have to be born again. We have to sense a birth, a spiritual birth. All right. So that's the first thing. The second thing is there needs to be a time after that of an anointing. That means we feel the call of the Lord. All right. We sense that call. Something is come over us in our spirit and we know what that is. So there has to be that anointing. Sometimes it's somebody else praying over you and that anointing comes. Sometimes, you know, it just depends. It really just depends on how God chooses to reveal that to you, but he will reveal it. Once we sense that anointing and we start to get an understanding of that calling, and you may not fully understand all of the calling at the beginning like Jesus did, all right? We're human beings, we're flawed, we're not perfect, but we sense a moving forward. Then there has to be a time of training, shaping, and testing, all right? All those pieces need to be there. And as we learn through that process, that training, we're preparing for the prize fight, we're in that training mode, there needs to be some things embedded in that. Number one, it's a holistic perspective of training in the scriptures. That means you are looking at the scripture as a whole. You're breaking it down into its parts. You are studying it and you are being led to study it. And you have a passion and a hunger to grow in God's word. And you have a hunger to grow in prayer with God. That means you want to spend time with him and you spend the time with him. It's not that you just want to, but then you take the next step and you actually do it. And you're spending extra time. You're not wasting time doing all these other things all the time. You're not letting the distractions overtake the prayer time. You need to have a period of that. Then through prayer and through the word, we need to be developing spiritual muscles and growing in that. Scripture memorization, letting God speak to you through his word, and really starting to bring out that strength that you're going to need. And basically what it is you're just learning to really understand how the Holy Spirit can take over you in every aspect. Because I promise you, as you move into your calling and you start doing it, you're going to need this. You're not going to be able to do it without it. So, as we move through those pieces of the checklist, so to speak, I don't like to just say it's a perfect checklist, but basically these components are in there. We also have to learn spiritual warfare. We have to understand spiritual warfare. And understanding scripture is at the heart of this. We got to learn how to fight against the enemy. We have to learn because we are going to be attacked as we get into our callings. You're going to be attacked. It's not in a matter of if, but when. And it's going to come in different ways. Things that you won't ever expect. Things that have nothing to do with your ministry. Because what it is the enemy's trying to derail you. So we need to understand that. And we have to develop a sense of stamina and perseverance through this. That's why sometimes you need to train for a length of a period of time. It doesn't have to do with just you learning stuff, but it's you showing the perseverance to walk through something, you know, because training can be hard, but that you will push through when it gets hard. See, a lot of times everybody just want, everything's just about gaining knowledge. Once I gain the knowledge, I'm good. I can move on. No, you got to develop the perseverance, the ability to walk through it and do it over and over in a correct way and do it over and over. And then things get hard and then you just keep going through and doing it anyway. Even when all the distractions are flooding in, even when all the pressure's mounting. You need to be able to do that, all right, and walk through that process. So perseverance is at the heart of being prepared for your calling. Perseverance will always be a part of that calling. Now, also, I think part of it is understanding your giftings and your strengths and then learning to really use them for the Lord. You can have the strengths, but if you're not using them for the Lord, it really doesn't matter. He developed you to use them for him. So remember that. So that is also a part of the process of growing. And that's why the discipleship is such an important aspect of the walk of a believer. I believe that we don't have an evangelism problem in America and in Western society. We have a discipleship problem. And the problem is people aren't willing to train. And what's happened is that's fallen off. So people have lost the ability of how to train. And we don't have people who even can train because they haven't been discipled. If you've never been discipled, you are not ready to disciple. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 30 years or more. You have to be discipled and then you have to disciple. And that takes time. And it needs to be with another believer who has been discipled. You should not be discipling until you've been discipled. And I will say this, I don't like to just put a holistic time period on it, but you should be discipled for at least 1 year minimum before you're ready to be discipling others. See, we weren't just told to go and, hey, all we're going to do is just preach the gospel. That's all we're going to do. No, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to disciple. It is a process. Okay? If all we do is focus on conversion and never get to discipleship, we are missing the heart of the gospel. You want somebody that's effective? Be disciple makers. Disciple makers are the most effective of anyone in the Christian faith. Learn how to make disciples. You need to understand this. Jesus is showing you that there is a preparation phase that we have to be discipled. All right. And he's walking through it. And of course, nobody can really disciple Jesus. The Holy Spirit was there upon him, walking him through everything. All right. But he's still demonstrating the process and showing that he could pass the final test, that he was ready. All right. We'll call him the real prodigy. He's the only prodigy that's ever existed. Even Paul had to train for 3 years before going into the full-time ministry and before taking his ministry into what we now know is what Paul did. All right. He had his 3 missionary journeys, as well as his trip all the way from Jerusalem to Rome, where eventually he would be beheaded. So think about this. If Paul had to train for 3 years, we need to train a little bit ourselves, don't we? And we need to be willing to invest in that. Are you willing to invest? Because notice, Jesus doesn't start his ministry until after the temptations, and he had proven not only who he was, but that he was ready for the trials. So, are you ready for the trials? Are you ready for all this? Or do you need to be trained? We all need to be trained. We all need to be discipled. I've been discipled twice. Not once, but twice. And I've walked through it, and I understand it because people took the time to invest in me and disciple me. And these are people who had been discipled. I cannot tell you how invaluable the training is. It's hard. And I promise you, you'll hit a point you want to quit for whatever reason. But you need to continue to walk through it. It will help you grow in ways. I promise you, when you get to the other end and you start really coming into your calling, you will succeed. See, I think that a lot of people fall short on their callings because they haven't been discipled. And what it is they haven't developed that muscle of perseverance and longevity and commitment, because commitment is really about continually staying with something and pushing through and persevering, even when it's hard, even when it feels impossible. You keep going. You break through that wall and you just keep going because God has called you. He's going to allow things to get in your way. How are you going to manage that? That's what the Word of God does. That's what discipleship has trained you to be able to handle. We have to have a commitment to persevering through and working through our calling, because I promise you there's things that's going to come into play that's going to try to distract you from your calling. Are you going to stay with it even when it's hard, even when the other things in life are trying to pull you away? Or are you going to be drug away and you're going to walk away from your calling? That's right. You're going to be tested. God wants to know that you can stick with it. This is why you need to be discipled. It is so important. You can handle the temptations. You can handle the things that are being thrown at you. You know, so I think what we have is we have a lot of people out there that have, quote, spiritual experience that have not truly, but they haven't fully committed themselves to the Lord. And it's because they're not stepping into discipleship after the fact, when they start to sense that there's something that they need to, they basically sense that need for that rebirth, for that being born again. When you are born again, it should lead you eventually into being discipled. I think part of the other problem is we don't have enough people who've been discipled So we don't have a lot of disciple makers out there. Here's the thing. Our program is going to teach you how to do that. We will teach you how to disciple. We have a discipleship plan. In 1 year, you can, for the most part, be ready to step into your calling, to understand the things that are going to come against you, to be prepared, to walk with a clean heart, because we want God to create a clean heart in us, correct? Of course we do. We got to be cleansed. Number one, we got to know the truth. Number two, we got to have our hearts cleansed. Number three, we got to learn to fix our eyes on Jesus. And then we learn to carry the message. We learn to carry the message. Are you willing to train? Are you willing to be discipled? Are you willing to step into your calling and really understand and really take the time to understand all the pieces to it? Because if you are, God is ready to use you. I will tell you, many of us are sitting out there think we're waiting on God. The truth is, God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you right now. He wants you to step into that calling. If you are wanting to learn more about discipleship, I promise you, you're going to have that opportunity from us. We are now launching a series on tuvu.com, the God-Centered Concept Academy. Okay? God-Centered Concept Academy. You can step right onto tuvu.com and join our community. We will also have some lessons over on the Good View Network and here on JesusSaid.tv, as well as on our auditory platforms. But if you want real training, if you want to step completely into it, all right, what I would do is I'd be listening to the Good View Network for some of the things that we're going to put on there, but you need to join tuvu.com. Because to get all the pieces, you need to be involved in that community. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.